Well, please turn in your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 16, beginning at verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It must be the most important question a person can ask. A question that leads to an answer. A question that has an answer. A question that alters life, that affects eternity. The question every person is welcome to answer. Oh, that every voice might utter the words, "What must I do to be saved?" First, we must establish this truth. Humanity needs saving. Whether we think this true or not, truth is not subject to our personal claims and beliefs. Truth is truth and cannot be otherwise. One might say, prove that humanity needs saving. I mean, has not humanity proven it needs saving? The proof is all around. The proof is everywhere. Humanity has proven it and continues to prove it each and every day. The wars, the fighting, the injustice, the backstabbing, the immorality, the debauchery, the idolatry, the adultery, the perversion, the addictions, the ideologies, the philosophies, the sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The Voice Bible reads, "You see, all have sinned, and all their futile attempts to reach God and His glory fail. Yet they are now saved and set right by His free gift of grace through the redemption available only in Jesus the Anointed. When God set Him up to be the sacrifice, the seat of mercy where sins are atoned through faith, His blood became the demonstration of God's own restorative justice. All of this confirms His faithfulness to the promise, for over the course of human history, God patiently held back as He dealt with the sins being committed. This expression of God's restorative justice displays in the present that He is just and righteous, and that He makes right those who trust and commit themselves to Jesus." R.C. Sproul said these words, "We want to be saved from our misery, but not from our sin. We want to sin without misery, just as the prodigal son wanted inheritance without the father. The foremost spiritual law of the physical universe is that this hope can never be realized. Sin always accompanies misery. There is no victimless crime, and all creation is subject to decay because of humanity's rebellion from God." Is this swirling in the mind? That's all good. You believe the Bible, but I don't believe the Bible. What do you believe then? What truth do you hold on to? What truth do you trust in? Bank life and afterlife on? Oh, humanity is full of opinions, claims, and beliefs, often chosen and adopted to sanction life and living. And yet, what if in the end, the Bible is right? What if this holy book is holy? What if this is the written word of God? What if this is absolute truth, the standards, the principles, the precepts, the commands, all truth? And this is the gamble. One bets that the Bible isn't truth, and one bets that the Bible is truth. I've said it before, if I'm wrong in the end, I've lost nothing. I have lived a good life. I have adhered to a higher standard. But if I'm right, and you are wrong, then you have lost everything. You see, if eternity is real, this life is not even a speck in comparison. And yet what we choose as truth on this side of eternity in the days of our living cements our everlasting reality. That's how real this is, people. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, we are in church today, and in this place, we declare the truth of God's word. I believe it's the truth with all my heart. I know it's the truth. The Bible is not a book for some and not for others. And the gospel is not something that works for some and not for others. You know, there's a disease that everybody gets. In fact, there's a disease that everybody has. We are born with it. This disease is called sin. And isn't it true that people can be walking around doing life, living life, and have no idea the disease they have inside? Until they start feeling the effects or seeing the effects. Or one day, you know, they just get the feeling that something isn't right. Or perhaps it's at a routine checkup at the doctor's office and the doctor notices something isn't right. There is only one answer. There is only one cure for this disease. Something incredible happened just weeks ago. Former Ohio State wide receiver, he organized a faith-based campus event with current football players where students gathered for prayer and baptisms. The truth of God was declared. Evangelistic utterance and unction gripped the grounds. The Lord moved, and many were saved, baptized, healed. And national news in America reported concerning what took place. It was reported that they handed out over 10,000 Bibles. The news reporter said this in interviewing. What I'm gathering from the response to this is that there is a hunger out there. There's something that is not being satisfied by social media and tech and secular culture. Talk to me about what you sense from the students that were there. What were they desiring? What were they looking for? Now I'm going to read his response. He responded, "Yeah, I think everybody is looking for some sort of hope. I think the human condition, we want hope, love. We throw around all these different words, and I think those things that we're looking for, searching for, can only be found in Jesus. In his great love, we talk about the word love and all these great things, and it's great to say, but what does it really mean? What does unity really mean? And I think it's found in the cross. Jesus said in his word, when it comes to loving a friend, what does love really look like? And it's to lay down one's life for their friend. But I would say that Jesus laid down his life for sinners. The Bible describes them as enemies of God, but he desires for us to be his. And so this encouragement that I would give the world and that we gave students on campus from young to old is to repent of your sins and believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power to save men and women." And he said that he gives those that believe in his name and those that believe in what he did on the cross the right to be children of God. And so the invitation to bring so many hurting souls and so many people that are looking for hope and love in so many different areas, it is the encouragement to say, you're looking every single time you look in a place other than God, you're going to miss the mark. But God is right here. He's a very present God. And he's seeking after the hearts of men and women, all ages, all sizes, different backgrounds. And so, it was an honor to see my Lord and my Savior move in the way that he did. And it was only because of him. It was ultimately to bring glory to him. It wasn't about a football team. It wasn't about anything else besides Jesus Christ. And this country, America, the world, everybody is so divided and looking for answers. And the answer is in Jesus Christ. in the blood that he shed on the cross. And it is the power to redeem us. And he is the great mediator that brought us to the Father and so put faith in Jesus. That was the message. To put faith in Jesus and you will find love and peace and joy that is unlike anything that this world or any person or any touchdown or anything or anybody can give you. One answer. One cure. Jesus Christ. The cross. His shed blood, his precious blood. Listen, I'm telling you, if you do not know him, you are rot with disease. You're full of disease. You say, the gospel isn't attractive enough. Is that it? Oswald Chambers said, there is nothing attractive about the gospel to the natural man. The only man who finds the gospel attractive is the man who is convicted of sin. Oh, that every convict would receive the education. Every convict convicted. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Listen, for those of us who are here today that have surrendered to Jesus, what a miracle it is that we are cured, washed, cleansed by his holy blood, set free, forgiven, ransomed, reconciled, no longer full of disease. In the end and at the end, there will be a great separation. The separating of those that are free of this disease and those that are full of it. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Perishing. To perish. To be lost, ruined, destroyed. Foolishness. Silliness. Absurdity. Foolishness? Guess what? 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And now the word of God responds to the so-called wisdom of humanity, 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Listen, the most important question a person can ask, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16, beginning at verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the cure. Believe in the cure. And you will be saved. Believe. The NLV, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your family will be saved from the punishment of sin. Young person, you're like, great, mom or dad decided to follow Jesus. Well, the message, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus, then you will live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your house included. The Amplified Classic. And they answered, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself to his keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and your household as well. The Amplified Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and entrust yourself to him, and you will be saved, and your household, if they also believe. Personal relationship. Young person, you don't get in just because grandma served God. You don't get in just because mom or dad serves Jesus. Even if they drag you to church every Sunday, you have to give your life to Jesus. You have to surrender. You have to repent. You have to choose to walk this walk. Because mom or dad's choice to serve Jesus can't cure you. You need to believe on Jesus. You need to believe on the cure and in the cure. The words of Charles Spurgeon, avoid the sugared gospel. I mean, are we smarter than these boys? Some are, like to be completely honest, are addicted to sugar. A sugar gospel. Avoid a sugared gospel as you would shun sugar of lead. That is poison. Seek the gospel which rips up and tears and cuts and wounds and hacks and even kills. For that is the gospel that makes alive again. And when you have found it, give good heed to it. Let it enter into your innermost being. As the rain soaks into the ground, so pray the Lord to let his gospel soak into your soul. Never lose heart in the power of the gospel. Do not believe that there exists any man, much less any race of men, for whom the gospel is not fitted. On Christ and what he has done, my soul hangs for time and eternity. And if your soul also hangs there, it will be saved as surely as mine shall be. And if you are lost trusting in Christ, I will be lost with you and go to hell with you. I must do so, for I have nothing else to rely upon but the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived, died, was buried, rose again, went to heaven, and still lives and pleads for sinners at the right hand of God. What must I do? You see, the reason Jesus hung on the cross was for our freedom. That we might be set free from the power of sin and death, for sin is death and leads to death. This human epidemic, this plague, this pandemic, and this virus has often, too often, been a silent killer, unbeknown to its victim. The subject dies, passing from this life, and then reality hits. You see, you might be the nicest person, kind, generous, loving, caring. It does not free you from sin. Sin is a plague, and our righteousness outside of Jesus Christ is as filthy rags. Filthy rags, because the true state of humanity outside Christ is like a leprous society, garment soaked by oozing sores. J.C. Ryle said these words, "The man who does not glory in the gospel can surely know little of the plague of sin that is within him." Billy Graham, the gospel shows people their wounds and bestows on them love. It shows them their bondage and supplies the hammer to knock away their chains. It shows them their nakedness and provides them the garments of purity. It shows them their poverty and pours into their lives the wealth of heaven. It shows them their sins and points them to the Savior. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. What must I do? Well, three of these words, with a we inserted and their appropriate punctuation mark, indeed were uttered before Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Listen, he's not willing that any perish. He's calling to you today. The Message paraphrase, Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. Holman Christian Standard Bible, when they heard this, they came under deep conviction, pierced to the heart. How are people going to get saved if there's no conviction? If we don't point out the fact that they need a cure. They came under deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what must we do? Repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call. What must we do? You know, this is often referred to as the Peter package. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is there a discrepancy between Peter and Paul and Silas? The answer is no. When they answered the jailer's question, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, they were not stating an exclusion of the latter two voiced by Peter. You see, it was just simply accepted as normal New Testament Christianity that if one believed in Jesus, they would be water baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of gospel message. That's the full gospel. That's the Christian life Jesus had in mind for us. Remember what happened with the jailer? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Repent. Repentance and water baptism. And did the time come when they too received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Listen, there is a path beyond repentance, and so too a walk. The package, the three, all are vital. All are vital. Parents, press it into your children. All are vital. Saved, water baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. All are vital. You say, I only need to believe and confess. Well, would not the disciple follow the footsteps of their master? For even Jesus was baptized. and the Spirit descending on him. No, he didn't need a flame of fire, a dove for the Holy One. Listen, we need the gospel. We need the full gospel. We need a generation of young people, a generation of believers, young and old, full of the full gospel. Jesus himself commanded his disciples to tarry and wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. If it wasn't really that important, why would Jesus say, listen, tarry and wait? Obviously, it was important. Obviously, it's what he had in mind for his church and for every believer. It's supernatural fire, supernatural power, the gift for all, a tongue of fire for all. Listen, it truly is life on a different plane, life on a higher level, to make us bold witnesses, to give the disciple the needed edge, overcoming power, divine flow. Are we not a people that pine for fullness? A full measure. Does one desire a cup, one-third full, two-thirds full? To those of us here today, blood-bought, saved, even those that have heard scores of gospel messages, gospel preaching, these words, never be content with your current grasp of the gospel. The gospel is the life-permeating, world-altering, universe-changing truth. It has more facets than a diamond. Its depths, man, will never exhaust. Let's spend another few moments with 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yeah, you know, we should lay down our lives for brethren, that they too know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I wonder, is there anything in our world we could lay down that others might know Christ, might know the witness, might witness the flow of a true disciple, might see good works? Can have the worship team return today. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's it, Paul. I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Nothing less. Full gospel, full Christian. I share these words. What gospel did Peter preach to the masses on the day of Pentecost? The Bible tells us that when the people heard the apostle testify, they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter did not tell these people just to believe and be saved, nor did he ask them to merely make a decision to cast a vote for Jesus. No, he told them to repent first and then be baptized in obedience to Christ. What gospel did Paul preach to the pagan Athenians on Mars Hill? He told them very directly, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." These Greek intellectuals had no trouble believing in God. In fact, you could say their very pastime was believing in many gods. First this one, then that one. Whenever someone came along preaching a god persuasively, they believed in it. So they believed, but they did it while living in sin. Simple belief was not enough. Paul told these men, "No, no, Jesus cannot simply be added to your list of gods. You may believe in them all, But you can't do that with Jesus. He has come to save you from your sins. And he commands all his followers to repent and be cleansed. Later, Paul preached the same gospel of repentance to King Agrippa. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Paul is saying, everywhere I've been, I've preached repentance. And genuine repentance proves itself by its actions. These passages make clear to us that the apostolic church preached unabashedly the same gospel John and Jesus preached. Repent for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I'm making a decision to follow Jesus. Listen, you might be walking around day after day. You don't even know the disease inside. You came into this place this morning. You really had no idea. You're going about life. You don't think you're, you know, a bad person. You're nice. Perhaps you're one of those people that would give the very shirt off your own back to somebody. You're always lending a hand. You're kind. You're generous. Or maybe you came in here and you're wicked. You're wretched. You're unrighteous. Immoral thoughts swirling in the head. You came in here, you're addicted to things. And you know something's not right. Maybe, you know, the reason you came this morning or accepted the invitation from a friend or a believer or a family member is because you've kind of felt lately that just something ain't right. Or guess what? This might have been, you know, like a checkup at the doctor's office. And you came in here today and you're being told what you got going on inside. It's deadly. Leads to death. And it is death. Would you make a decision today? And it's a personal decision. Nobody's forcing you because it can't be forced. You have to say, I want to believe on Jesus. I want to believe on the cure and in the cure. I want to be set free from the power of sin and death. Perhaps you're here today and you're saying, I think it's time I make a commitment to be water baptized. You've never been water baptized. Listen, it doesn't matter how old you are. We're going to cheer you on if you get in the tank. I believe it is so vitally important. According to the Word of God, it is so important that we are water baptized. This is not one of those things we should exclude from the gospel. You see, much of the gospel today is just believe on Jesus. Add Jesus to your life. He's a fix for some. But it's repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's track beyond repentance. There's life beyond repentance. There's a walk with Jesus. Maybe you've never made that decision. Listen, you can sign up and we can rejoice with you two Sundays from now, I believe it is, as you get in the tank and get water baptized. It's your public confession of faith. It's so important. Listen, you say, young person, maybe you're here, you're like, I'm scared. Yeah, I remember when I was getting baptized, I wasn't too thrilled either. You know, you got to go in front of the whole congregation and share your testimony and you're shaking and the paper's wet and but God does something in those waters. It changes your life. You got to believe it. You got to believe. You got to believe it. If that's you, listen, sign up. Get baptized now as a young person. And again, it's your personal decision. That's why we believe. We wait. You know, you wait until you can make that decision for yourself. Otherwise, you know, every mom and dad would be giving their baby over to be dipped in the tank, right? And just say they're in, but that's not how it works. It's a personal decision. Perhaps you're here today and you say, I've repented. I'm following Jesus. I love him with all my heart. I'm trying to serve him, doing my best, to live for His glory and honor every day, to spread the good news, to show His love and His mercy to a lost and dying world. I've been water baptized. I went through the tank. I came out the other side. I was buried in the waters and raised to life. But I need the Holy Ghost. I need power. I need power. You know, I wish I could completely and fully break it down for you and explain it all, but it's just, it's divine. It's miraculous. And can't we just leave some things like that? Let God baptize you in the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Get that fire inside of you, that power, that dunamis dynamite power that changes life, life on a different level, life on a different plane. Overcoming power and supernatural flow. Maybe you're here today, you're saying, listen, I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm lukewarm. I'm lukewarm. I'm not hot, I'm not cold. I'm lukewarm. Lukewarm in my faith. Lukewarm in my convictions. Lukewarm in my passion. Lukewarm in my church attendance. Lukewarm in my brotherly love, sisterly love. I'm just lukewarm. My worship, lukewarm. My prayer life, lukewarm. You know, I love what we read at the start of the message. They were heading to prayer. Good idea to show up to prayer. Good idea to come to Christ City Prayer too on Tuesday nights. You know, the testimony was, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. It's about time. It's about time. Yeah, go preach things that aren't lawful for the lost. That's a good idea. You know what it's going to take to trouble the city? I really believe it. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need people full of the fire of God. Full of the fire of God. It changes conversations. It changes encounters in the street. It's supernatural power. It's beyond our own ability. We're enabled by God, not just in our humanness, not just in self. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I'm making a strong decision today. I need to burn for Him. Even here, don't hold back. Do not spare. Let's stand in the house today. If you need to respond to the word of the Lord, I know we're a little bit over time, but the altar is open. The altar's open this morning. The altar's open. Lord, you see where we're at today. Every single one in this house, God. Everyone in this house, Lord. Jesus, we need you.